Welcome to Echotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. For more than 40 years, the Intermountain Opera Association has been presenting operas in Bozeman. And while the COVID-19 pandemic has required them to change their traditional approach, it has not deterred them from inspired, creative ways of bringing opera to the people. We spoke with Executive Director Jackie Vick and Interim Artistic Director Michael Saker about their upcoming free concert at the Emerson Crawford Theater on November 6th and 7th, and their other innovative approaches during COVID. Welcome to Echotones, Michael Saker and Jackie Vick. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Jackie, you are Executive Director and Access Coordinator for Intermountain Opera Bozeman. And Michael, you are Interim Artistic Director. Well, on Election Day, November 3rd, 2020, I had the great good fortune of walking in my neighborhood when the exquisite sound of an aria from Bizet's opera Carmen came ringing through the air. I alerted my neighbor, Amy Zarnt, and we walked quickly toward the sound, and we were utterly enthralled. And then after another beautiful aria and the duet from West Side Story tonight, all of which was brilliantly accompanied on piano, Michael, you walked over to us and told us a bit about how Intermountain Opera Bozeman is continuing to perform despite the COVID-19 pandemic. And you gave us a handout, which is how I reached Jackie. To say that it made my day would not begin to cover it. So, Jackie, why don't you begin, since you are Access Coordinator, talking about how Intermountain Opera Bozeman is coping with the realities of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, we are coping with them on a day-to-day basis because we've discovered early on that things change pretty much on a daily, weekly, if not daily basis. And so the opera really did have to pivot from what we've been doing for 40-some years here in Bozeman of producing grand live opera on the stage with full sets and costumes and chorus and orchestra in the pit to how can we still bring art to people when you can't have gatherings of more than 50 people, which oftentimes, if it were a full production, would have been more than just the cast and the orchestra and the chorus, but still getting some of this music out in front of people. So we decided to do a season that we've called Off-Road, and we are taking musicians to people where people are already gathered and presenting small, short concerts or just events free to the public, because right now ticketing is a barrier to people's access to what we are doing. So everything that we're doing this year is going to be free to the public unless it's a fundraising event. And we're just doing it kind of on the fly. We've got the artists here in town for a week, and they have so far done 4 different outreach events, and they're doing another one this afternoon, and then we have 2 recitals for the public this weekend. Audiences are limited to the 50-person gathering limit, so we are live streaming it for everybody who is either uncomfortable coming in person or didn't get a ticket to come in person. So that's what we're doing and what we plan to continue doing throughout this season. Unless springtime everything gets better and there's a vaccine and everybody's comfortable and we can do full performances, then we'll pivot on a dime again and pull together a full performance.
Now, Michael, you are the new Interim Artistic Director for Intermountain Opera Bozeman, and you do have a history with the company, but you also have a history in, is it Memphis?
That's right. I'm the music director with Opera Memphis, and there, that's a company that has a long history of taking opera outside of the opera house and really thinking creatively about how we can engage with our community. So when you saw us on Tuesday in your neighborhood, we were presenting one of these community events that Jackie mentioned for Reach Inc., the service organization that focuses on folks with developmental disabilities. And that is the kind of thing that we've been doing all week so far. On Monday, we performed for Bozeman Public Schools at the Wilson Auditorium. That was a live stream performance. There was no in-person audience, but we were able to reach 150 different households. And it was recorded for use for other classrooms later in the week. And then on Wednesday, just yesterday, we performed for Gallatin County Rest Home. This is the only public retirement center in the Bozeman area. And as Jackie mentioned, today we have another performance. This will be a virtual performance on Zoom for Haven, the Resource Center for Domestic Abuse Victims. So clearly we're trying to use this pandemic as an opportunity to reach folks that we wouldn't otherwise reach, but also to really strengthen the community partnerships that we have and create new ones as well.
It's just tremendously encouraging. You're artistic, so creativity is kind of your thing anyway, but this is a very creative and, I must say, heartwarming approach that the opera company is taking in these very difficult times. So I very much appreciate what you all are doing. Now, let's talk about what's going to be happening Friday and Saturday, November 6th and 7th at the Emerson. I was very fortunate to be able to hear some of the people who will be performing then, John Risen, the tenor, and his wife, Gillian Lynn Cotter, the mezzo-soprano, and Kyle Naig, the accompanist. It's amazing what they were able to do outside. So tell us what you think that will be happening on November 6th and 7th at the Emerson.
Sure. John, Gillian, and Kyle are three fantastically talented artists who have careers throughout the country. They have performed at New York City Opera. They have performed at Santa Fe Opera. And we are so blessed to have them here this weekend presenting a program that we're entitling From the Heart, Songs of Love and Comfort, because we know that we could use all of us could use some love and comfort these days. And this is a lot of famous favorite tunes from operas and musical theater shows. You mentioned the Habanera from Carmen and the Tonight duet from West Side Story, but they're going to also sing other numbers that made them fall in love with each other. John and Gillian are a married couple, and in fact, they just had a newborn child 3 months ago who is here in Bozeman as well. So the program is going to feature stuff like the duet from Kismet, which is this stunning piece that they've sung together. Let's see, I think John is also singing the song that he proposed to Gillian with, which is Make Someone Happy. And then let's see what else. They're also singing All I Ask of You from Phantom of the Opera. There's going to be some classic opera as well. They both sing this stunning duet from Massenet's opera Cendrillon, which is the French version of Cinderella, in which Gillian will be Cinderella and John is Prince Charming. And then also on the program, Kyle, our pianist, is such a multi-talented artist. He not only accompanies and conducts opera, he also is a fantastic soloist and a really great jazz pianist. So he's going to play some solo Chopin and then also an improvisation of his own on the song Skylark. So there's something for everyone on this program. And the idea is really just to make everyone happy, because we could all use that right now.
And so, as you mentioned, Jackie, all these performances are free. Are there still tickets available for the 50 people who will be able to be present at the Emerson on November 6th or 7th? And if there are still available, how can people find out how to acquire them?
Yes, we do still have a few seats available for both performances. And the best way to request that, we do have to do the ticketing so that we don't go over our limit of 50 people. The best way to do that is to call the office, and the number here is 406-587-2889, or you can email info@intermountainopera.org, and I will take care of those tickets for you. If for some reason one of the shows fills up, I will get right back to you and say we don't have any on that night and try and get you into the other night. But as of right now, we do still have tickets available for both shows.
And you mentioned that this will also be live streamed. If people aren't feeling comfortable about attending in person, how would they go about viewing it online?
If they go to our website, which is intermountainopera.org, on the homepage, there will be a link that will take them directly to the YouTube live stream of the show. I believe the link will go live at about 6:45 on each evening, and the show will start at 7. And there's no registration necessary, just getting there and tuning in.
About how long are you thinking the performance will be?
It'll be just over an hour. The idea is for John and Jillian and Kyle to speak before each number and offer a little bit of background into their personal connection to what they're going to sing. So it's about 45, 50 minutes of music, and then with their introductions, it'll be just over an hour.
That's wonderful. Now, what had been planned was a world premiere. I believe this is the first piece that was commissioned by Intermountain Opera Bozeman by Eric Funk, our beloved local composer, Requiem for a Forest. And that was to be premiered on October 24th. And it was inspired by the Bridger Foothills fire from last September 2020, just outside of Bozeman. And I notice that the text is by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Powers. I'm guessing it's probably from his book Overstory. Would that be correct?
It was actually an original text that Eric Funk requested. Richard and Eric are dear friends. And when we reached out to Eric in September after the fire, he immediately thought of Richard Powers because of his history with novels about forests and the destructions of forests. So Eric has been an amazing partner with the opera. It was a miracle that this commission happened so quickly and that it was the first event for this very unusual season was the company's very first premiere. Eric was very excited to work with us on this when we suggested partnering with him to respond to the fire. He was so excited. He started writing immediately. I have to commend Jackie and the Intermountain Opera Board for supporting it because commissions like this, the one that were premiered on October 24th, they take a long time to bring about. And this happened in the span of a month. It was amazing. And it was, from what I understand, so well received. Again, there were just tears in the audience. Yeah, I think art, it was a perfect example of how art can respond to tragedy and to contemporary events.
We did actually do the premiere. It wasn't something that got canceled because of COVID. We were able to perform this piece in front of three separate audiences on the 24th. We had so much response to the premiere that we went from one to two to three performances of it. And we were able to get about 40 people into each of those. And it was just inspiring and so uplifting to be able to perform live for people, and especially with something that just touched everybody in some way, because they experienced the fire even if they weren't personally affected by it. Everybody in Bozeman experienced it. And the piece itself does deal with the devastation of fire, but the whole premise and the whole feel of it is the hope and the rebirth after a fire or after a tragedy. And so it's a very uplifting piece. And we're looking forward to the next phases of that. It'll be made into a video here shortly, and then there are additional renditions of it that add instrumental accompaniment to the singers. And so there will be life after the premiere for this piece, and we're working on that as we speak.
I see. And did I understand correctly that Eric Funk contacted Richard Powers, and then Richard Powers wrote a specific piece for this?
Correct.
Yes. Yep.
That's even more impressive. Any one element of this would be impressive alone, but altogether, it's really something.
It was magic, the way it all came together.
And I assume that people can find out about the recordings and that sort of thing eventually on the website. Is that correct?
Yes, we'll be having information about that soon.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we'll keep abreast of that. All right, now I've heard rumors about drive-in opera. What is with that?
Well, we need to get opera in front of people in any way that we can. The idea behind this season is to present something to the public monthly. And so last month was Eric's premiere. This month is the recital series. And one of the things of the concert settings that we are considering in the months ahead is drive-in opera, where folks can just literally drive into a parking lot. We'll have a temporary stage. Maybe it is a trailer bed, and folks will be able to, from the comfort and safety of their own car, tune their radio stations to a specific FM broadcast where we will be transmitting that live performance that they see outside their car. It is the most perfect representation of opera creation in the COVID era that I can imagine, but it is what we can possibly do going forward. We're also playing with a bunch of other ideas. We know that there's going to be a need for Christmas cheer and holiday cheer next month. So one thing that we're considering, it's not for sure, but something that we are considering, is partnering with our local and regional singers to present some carols, some holiday carols, where there will already be gatherings. So that's sort of the idea that we have. It's a lot of unusual. It's not a normal season by any means, but we are trying to get opera in front of people and use it in as healing and joyful a way as possible.
I'm curious what it must be like to sing opera in like 20 degree weather. that must be quite a challenge.
Well, yes. I mean, and certainly the cold weather and the pandemic are challenges, but they are in some ways, the limitations are freeing because it helps us decide what is and is not possible in the months ahead.
What just popped into my mind, it just reminds me of during the pioneer days, opera was beloved. And one of the features in many towns was the opera house. And it just seems like it's continuing a tradition that it overcomes adversity and all that sort of thing to bring opera and vocal music to people in their hometowns.
I love that. And another one of the priorities for this season was refocusing on our local and regional talent. At the beginning of this season, we organized a series of digital auditions where people from Bozeman and the surrounding areas could record an audition from their own home and email it to us. And we have received dozens and dozens of fantastic submissions. There is wonderful talent here in Gallatin County and beyond. And I'm thrilled that the pandemic is giving us an opportunity to use that talent and to hire that talent, because certainly we're going to depend on it in the months ahead.
And indeed, Jackie, do you want to talk about how people who are interested in submitting an audition, how they can go about that?
Yes, all of that information, again, is on our website. And if you go to the intermountainopera.org and look up auditions, it gives you all the information about how to do the recording for yourself and the audition email that you send this into, and that then becomes a part of our record so that we know how to reach everybody when it's time for them to come join us to do something.
And that brings up the part about how many people it takes to actually put on an opera production. And I don't know if this is relevant during this particular period of time with the pandemic, but there are opportunities for people to volunteer. Would you like to talk about some of those opportunities?
Oh, sure. Like you said, in the pandemic time right now, our volunteer opportunities are not as extensive as they are when we're in full production. But right now, for things like we are doing this weekend, we do need ushers. If we are bringing guest artists from out of the area, we sometimes need home hosts or loaner vehicles, some hospitality things because of the keeping our artists safe. We offer to do the grocery shopping for them, and so that is something that a volunteer could do if they're comfortable going out and doing the grocery shopping. So those are the things that can happen right now. When we get back into productions, or if we start doing staged things that are then streamed, they're help with costumes, help backstage, help with the box office, outreach, you know, helping set things up, distributing posters around town, and just a myriad of things. And I have found, too, with volunteers, oftentimes it might not be something that we know that we need the volunteer for, but someone will come and say, this is what I would love to do for you because it's what I do. And it's some of the best help in the world.
Can you think of an example of such a situation where you were surprised?
Like with marketing at one point, you know, generally we have to hire our marketing firm and they do all the graphic work and stuff. There are some people who love to volunteer that kind of resource. And they say, it's something I love to do. It's not what I do necessarily for my job, but I would love to volunteer it because I love doing it. And it's a service that then helps the opera save some money.
Oh, yeah. Well, it takes a village, right?
Exactly.
Well, one of the wonderful components of Intermountain Opera Bozeman is the whole educational component. I would love it if you would share with our listeners what that involves. I find that particularly inspiring.
It has always been a big part of what Intermountain Opera is all about, because opera, for some people, it's just off-putting because they don't understand it. And we feel that understanding just enhances the experience. And too often, people say, oh, I don't like opera. And you can ask them, have you ever seen one? And they say no. So there's a misconception that we need to break the barriers on, and education is the way to do it. Every year, in the past, when we've had a full production going on, we bring all of the fifth graders in the area into the Wilson Auditorium and do what we call a behind-the-scenes look at opera. They get to see what we're putting on the stage and hear the singers and see the costumes and see the staging. And it just, again, breaks down barriers. It's like, here's what happens behind the curtain that you might not know about. And that is what the outreach we streamed on Monday was very similar to. Because we couldn't have the kids in the Wilson, we tried to show them as much as we could from the Wilson stage about opera.
Being there behind the scenes and witnessing just how far the Bozeman Public School System went with their technology that they have. They bought new cameras for this live stream. They set up lighting. They set up backdrops just so that we could help educate the students from home what a theater can do, even in the COVID era. They were even able to set up their technology system so that we were able to receive questions from the Zoom platform that they were watching the performance on. So the kids were able to digitally appear for our singers in Wilson Auditorium and ask their questions to the singers, and then the singers were able to respond, and everyone that was watching could watch this happen. It was amazing.
One of the things that the Bozeman school system has every right to be proud of is their musical education program from kindergarten through high school, and the quality of some of the musicians who are young people is truly astounding. I've been very fortunate to hear sometimes some of their concerts, and it's really impressive and heartwarming. And you are able to include opera as well as the children themselves in their classrooms or in band being educated about it, I think is just very special. And especially in an era where things like music and art programs so often are being eliminated for budget reasons, it's wonderful that our school system maintains it the way that they do.
We are very lucky.
And I think that not only does it make the individuals more well-rounded, but there is plenty of research showing that in ways that maybe we can't completely understand, all of these things, the music education, also enhances the science and the literature, and opera is a perfect example of that.
Opera is a perfect example of that because, and I say this all the time, opera is all about empathy. We are in the business of using text and music to move others to appreciate the struggles of a character. And when we're able to learn how that works, when students can feel the emotions of the character they see singing on stage, or maybe even take part in it themselves, they end up being more empathetic human beings going forward and are able to connect to the folks around them better.
Indeed. I bet you have other things that you would like to share with our listeners. Michael, why don't we start with you? Things that I didn't ask or that you are never asked in an interview that you want to share?
I would just encourage everyone to stay tuned to what we have coming up because, as Jackie mentioned, a lot of this is being figured out on a much shorter time frame than we would typically plan. Folks can visit our website for information. They should definitely sign up for our e-newsletters and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. These are the best ways to find out. They can also sign up this season, and Jackie can talk more about this, but this season we are figuring out the best way to reach all of our patrons. So whether that means texting or phone calls to let them know about last-minute performances that are scheduled, we want to be able to reach out to everyone in the most efficient and accessible way possible.
And Jackie?
I'll expand a little bit on what Michael was just talking about. We do realize there are some people who just don't do online, and we don't want them to fall through the cracks about knowing what we're doing. So if they can contact the office and give me just a personal email, I can send a personal email. If they prefer a text, we will do text. And if they don't like that and they just want to have a phone call, I'm happy to call people and just let them know what's happening when we've got something coming up. We just want to make sure that we are able to reach everyone to let them know what we're doing. I will expand a little bit on what's happening this year. You know, we are, a lot of what we're doing is kind of in response to the pandemic and the restrictions that we're under right now. But actually, much of what we are creating is something that was in the opera's long-range strategic planning. We have always wanted to have a regional core of performers that we can use on a regular basis to do things in the community. And so we can use this year when we're not in the throes of big productions every few months to solidify this program so that when we do get back into big productions, this will continue forever for us so that we will be able to be in the schools, be out in the public, have something for everybody every month. If some organization has a need or if there is underserved group of people, we want to be able to perform for them. And this is allowing us to get that program up and running and solidified so that we're confident we can continue it forever.
Jackie Vick and Michael Saker, thank you so much for joining us today on Echo Tones. We really appreciate your work and your sharing it with us.
Thank you, Joy. I'm so grateful that you happened to be passing by our performance on Tuesday.
Well, you and me both, brother.
I'm so glad.
Yes, and thank you so much for reaching out to us right after and getting this set up. We are so grateful. Thank you.
You have just heard an interview with Intermountain Opera Bozeman's Executive Director, Jackie Vick, and Interim Artistic Director, Michael Saker, recorded on November 5th, 2020. Their free concert featuring Gillian Lynn Cotter, John Risen, and Kyle Naig at the Emerson's Crawford Theater is on Friday, November 6th, and Saturday, November 7th at 7 p.m. It is limited to 50 people, and it will be live-streamed. For free tickets or more information, you can go to intermountainopera.org. Echo Tones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman.